The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 14, text number 2. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on May 16th, 2012, in London, England.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idam Jnanam Upashritya Mama Siddharmyam Agata Sarge Api Na Upajayante Pralaye Na Vyatanti Cha.
Different verse on the board, okay.
Idam Ganam Upashritya.
Idam Ganam Upashritya.
Mama Sudharmyam Agata. Sarage Pino Pajayante. Palayena Vyatanticha. Idam Ganam Upashritya.
Idam Ganam Upashritya.
Mama Sadharmyam Agata.
Sadharmyam Agata.
Sarge Pino Pajayante. Kalayena Vyatanticha.
Kalayena Vyatanticha.
Idam.
This.
Jnanam.
Knowledge.
Upashritya.
Taking shelter of.
Mama.
My.
Sadharmyam. Same nature.
Agata.
Having attained.
Sarge api.
Even in the creation. Na.
Never.
Upajayante. Are born.
Pralaye.
In the annihilation.
Na.
Nor. Vyatanti. Are disturbed. Cha.
Also.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After acquiring perfect transcendental knowledge, one acquires qualitative equality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. One does not, however, lose his identity as an individual soul. It is understood from Vedic literature that the liberated souls who have reached the transcendental planets of the spiritual sky always look to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, being engaged in his transcendental loving service. So, even after liberation, the devotees do not lose their individual identities. Generally, in the material world, whatever knowledge we get is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Knowledge which is not contaminated by the three modes of nature is called transcendental knowledge. As soon as one is situated in that transcendental knowledge, he is on the same platform as the Supreme Person. Those who have no knowledge of the spiritual sky hold that after being freed from the material activities of the material form, this spiritual identity becomes formless without any variegatedness. However, just as there is material variegatedness in this world, in the spiritual world there is also variegatedness. Those in ignorance of this think that spiritual existence is opposed to material variety. But actually in the spiritual world, the spiritual sky, one attains a spiritual form. There are spiritual activities, and the spiritual situation is called devotional life. That atmosphere is said to be uncontaminated, and there is one, and there one is equal in quality with the Supreme Lord. To obtain such knowledge, one must develop all the spiritual qualities. One who thus develops the spiritual qualities is not affected either by the creation or by the destruction of the material world.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jita Parakamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragana Tanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha.
There are so many different types of knowledge in this world. Physics, geometry, mathematics, psychology. Is it? But where is that knowledge that will give one the nature of God? Is it? That is a pretty amazing knowledge. Is it? You get this knowledge, you develop the nature, very nature of God. Is it? This is what Krishna is saying. That knowledge is called transcendental knowledge. That is the knowledge that Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is giving knowledge how you can develop the very nature of God. It's not that you become God, but you develop the same qualities as God. God is Satchidananda Vigraha, as confirmed by Brahmanji. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. That Supreme Ishvar, Param Ishvar, he is called Krishna. Why is he called Krishna? Because he's really attractive. I mean, nobody's more good-looking than Krishna. Nobody's more powerful than Krishna. Nobody is more renowned than Krishna. Nobody is more knowledgeable or more wealthy or more famous than Krishna. Therefore, he is called Krishna. So he has some pretty amazing qualities. He has some astoundingly amazing qualities. He's eternal. He is not under the influence of time. Time and tide wait for no man, but they don't wait for Krishna. You see, he's beyond the influence of time. He's eternal. Sat in Sanskrit. Chit, he's full of knowledge. Krishna knows everything. Satchidananda, and he's full of transcendental bliss. So, that person who becomes fixed in transcendental knowledge, he also becomes Satchidananda Vigraha. He has the awakening of his eternal, all-knowing, all-blissful identity in the spiritual existence. So all you have to do is become fixed in transcendental knowledge. Does that mean you don't have to do devotional service? No. Doesn't mean that. Please don't try to take it out of context. Well, I didn't like to do service anyway. All I need is the knowledge and I'm covered. No. That's not exactly the proper understanding. The point is, this knowledge is not academic. This knowledge is realized knowledge. You have to put the knowledge into practice. Even in the material world, you want to become a qualified chemist. Mere academic knowledge of the chemical formulas will not qualify you, sir. But if you can do in the laboratory with the chemicals perfectly, then you become fully qualified. You can do all the experiments. You see? It's like when I was a boy, we studied chemistry in the high school and we did an experiment. We produced an amazing substance. It was called water. We took two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen. And lo and behold, what did we have in our test tubes? Water. So, if you want to become a master chemist, you have to be able to do all the experiments also, you see. So you want to become a master of transcendental knowledge, you want to become fixed in transcendental knowledge, then you have to not only know the formula, H2O equals water, but you have to be able to do it, to demonstrate it in the laboratory. So where is this laboratory anyway? That I can go and become expert in this consciousness. Where is the test tube? The test tube is your consciousness, and the laboratory is the association of the Vaishnavas. You see? Because there you can, just as you combine H2O and God water, you can combine servitor, service and the served, and get transcendental awakening. There's three ingredients. There's the servitor, there's the activity of service, and there's the served. You are the servitor. Devotional service is the catalyst, the service, and then the object is Krishna, the served. So by actually serving Krishna, then you get that awakening. So what service does Krishna want? Do I have to speculate what service Krishna wants? No, I don't have to speculate at all. Krishna has given a very nice laboratory manual called the Bhagavad Gita. And in this book he tells you exactly what you need to do to become perfect in the mastering the experiment. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 34. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisance unto me, in this way, becoming fully absorbed in me, you will come to me. And there are a class of philosophers which we call Mayavadis. And they like to twist the verses in a different way. They take this same verse and they translate it a little differently. Listen carefully to the difference. Engage your mind always in worshipping me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage or obeisances unto me. In this way, becoming fully absorbed in me, you will become me. You see? There's a big difference, even though it seems very similar. I mean, only a couple of syllables different. You know, you will come to me, you will become me. It's a big difference. That little B-E stuck there makes a big difference. Become me. The thing is, you really can't become somebody that you're not. You are you, and that's reality. I mean, instead of trying to be something that you're not, which you really can't ever be, why not just learn to be what you are? You see? Krishna consciousness means stop trying to be what you're not and just try to be what you are. You see? That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. Stop trying to be what you're not. Just try to be what you are. You see? If you try to be what you're not, you're never going to make it. Sorry, sir. Sorry, ma'am. You may try to be what you're not for millions of lifetimes. You'll never make it because it's not you. You see? But if you simply learn how to be what you actually are, you see, then it's like a fish in the water, you see. Radharani has made a very nice verse in this connection. Our mother. We just had Mother's Day, now we can remember our mother Radharani, you see. She's the original mother. She has a very nice verse in this connection. She says, Manamora Vamadina Jalavina Yenamina Krishna Vina Chane Marayaya Madhura Harsha Vadane Mananeta Rasayane Krishna Trishna Devi Gunavadaya. That if I do not think of Krishna, my impoverished mind will die immediately, just like a fish out of the water. But when I think of Krishna, when I see that sweet, smiling face of Krishna, my mind and eyes are so enlivened, so much full of transcendental bliss, that my thirst for Krishna, Krishna Trishna, becomes immediately doubled. So we should learn something from Radharani. She's a very intelligent girl. Very intelligent girl. We should learn something from Radharani. You see. Always be Krishna conscious. Always be Krishna conscious. Don't let your mind go drifting away as you're walking down Oxford Street to this thing and that thing, all the razzle-dazzle, you know, of London. Don't let the razzle-dazzle you. Stay fixed in Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Actually, all this razzle-dazzle is Krishna's energy anyway. If you find London to be attractive, Shri Radha London Ishwara ki jai, Jagannath Baladev si Bhadra ki jai. If you find London to be attractive, simply remember this London or this New York City, wherever it may be, you see, it is simply a little tiny, insignificant speck of a speck of a speck of a speck of a speck of the unlimited Shakti or potency of Bhagavan Shri Krishna, you see. So with one little speck of his energy, he can make this London City, or this New York City, or the so many places, you see, the Grand Canyon or whatever, you know, people may be attracted to, whatever nonsense garbage they may be attracted to in this material world. If even just a little tiny speck of his energy, he can make Miss America or Miss England or whatever, you know, or the Beatles or whatever, you know, people are attracted to. Then just consider how attractive, how potent, how amazingly splendorous is Krishna, you see. It just requires a little intelligence, you know. I mean, why be attracted to something low class when you can be attracted to something high class, you see. If you're in a place where everybody's attracted to something low class, see, an intelligent person will not participate. These are low class people. They're attracted to something disgusting, low-class things. Just like we heard an interesting story in this connection in Burma. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told. In Burma, the people would take If there was a dead rat lying in the street or a dead dog, you know, hit by a car or something, you know, they throw it in a vat. And they'd accumulate all these dead animals in the vat, and all the bodies would rot. And then on special occasion, they had a little spigot. They'd take the spigot and they'd drink this rotten juice. And think, oh, this is a real delicacy, you see. And if you cook something with ghee in their neighborhood, they would hold their noses. Oh, a horrible stink, ghee, you see. So, you know, what happened? If you're living in that neighborhood, are you going to cook in ghee, or are you going to go? You're going to sample the spigot rot juice, you see. I think I'll try some of the spigot rot juice. Everybody here thinks it's really divine stuff, so I think I'll give it a shot and try some of that. Will you do that? No, of course not. Disgusting. Let's see. Some spigot rot juice. So this whole material world is just spigot rot juice. All the pleasure of this material world is just rotten spigot juice, you see. So why should I go after it, you see? I should be intelligent. It's because I'm in a place where ignorance is bliss. Should I become ignorant too? Should I become, if I'm in a place where everybody's an ignorant fool and ignorance is celebrated and they elect ignorant people to lead the country and they make them give them big titles as PhD, Poet Laureate, should I participate in that and try to get in there and be a part of it, or I should think, this is stupid. I don't want to be part of this nonsense. Is it? It simply requires a little intelligence. That's something. Even just a little intelligence. You don't have to be a big Einstein. Just a little bit of an... Even if you're a space case, just have a little intelligence to understand. I'm in a place where people take what is beautiful and good to be a disgrace. So I don't want to follow that nonsense, you see. It's like now, the President of the United States, Mr. Obama, has said, I support same-sex marriage. The first time in the history of the U.S., a U.S. president has said, I am in favor of same-sex marriage, you see. So I think, well, I got to keep up with the times. I guess I'm old-fashioned. The president now says he's in favor of same-sex marriage, so I guess there's something wrong with me. I got to refine my viewpoint, evolve my viewpoint now, and keep up with the times. Or should I find out what is the vision of the great acharyas, you see? And you see, we have a choice. We can go with the flow of the material society, or we can follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajanas. We have that. Every one of us has that choice. We can follow the Mudha Marg or the Acharya Marg, you see. Which Marg do you want to follow, Prabhu? Mataji, which Marg do you want to follow? Acharya Marg or Mudha Marg? You see. We all have that choice. So the intelligent person, he will study what is the result of following Acharya Marg and what is the result of following Mudha Marg. You see. Acharya Marg, that is Shreya Marg. Mudha Marg, that is Preya Marg. Preya means it's immediately enjoyable. You see a girl, you invite her to your apartment, you have sex pleasure, you get some instant enjoyment, you see. That's called Preya. But then what is the result? So many complications. She gets pregnant. You don't want to marry her. You don't. You know, it's a whole problem. You see, big problem. You see. So pray, and it seems so nice. A good-looking girl. Wow, she's going to come to my apartment. We have a great evening. That's, you see. Instead of seeing the instant thing, you see, you have to have long-range vision. You see, in sadhus they have long-range vision. You see, that's why they follow Acharya Marg. Shreya, what is ultimately beneficial. Therefore, Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3, text 21, it advises give special advice for those who are interested in Shreya, the ultimate benefit. Tasmad gurum prapadyecha jigashu Shreya uttamam. Those who desire the ultimate benefit, they must approach a spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. Shabde pareta nishnatang brahmani upasamashriyam. So then the Bhagavatam doesn't leave you in the dark as to who is a bona fide spiritual master. Bhagavatam then makes it very clear who is a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master is that person who has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is thus able to convince others of these conclusions. That's the bona fide spiritual master. And then the verse concludes that those great personalities who have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, can be considered bona fide spiritual masters. So we have to, if we're very interested to achieve that Shreya, that ultimate Shreya Uttamam, the ultimate benefit, the supreme good, the supreme happiness, to not be carried away by the razzle-dazzle of this material existence, you see, then we need help, because on all sides we're being bombarded with it. All sides are being bombarded. Every single direction, every media, every radio broadcast, every site we see, every just completely being saturated, bombarded with this. It's razzle-dazzle, the material existence, trying to lure us down the mudha-marg. So we need help. We need a spiritual master who can protect us, who can enlighten us, who can teach us the art how to become Krishnized, spiritually saturated. Spiritual master does that. He teaches us. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavadgrayam Indriyai Sevon Mukaihi Jivado Svayam Eva Sparatyadaha. With one's blunt, materially contaminated senses, it is not possible to understand what is the name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, qualities, paraphernalia, etc., 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 that amazingly unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one becomes Krishnized or spiritually saturated by what? Jivado, Sevan Mukhe Jivado, by engaging his senses, beginning with the tongue, in the service of that Supreme Person, then what happens? He realizes the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, qualities, entourage, etc., 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 the Supreme Lord. So the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to do that, how to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what is the other function of the tongue besides vibrating? Eating. How to take prasad, how to take foodstuffs which have been offered to Krishna, you see. This is the beginning of the bhakti path, beginning of that acharya marg. He starts right here with the tongue. Jeev, literally the Sanskrit jivado, beginning with the tongue, you see. All starts there, chant Hare Krishna and take prasad. If you're willing to chant Hare Krishna and take prasad, then the doorway for you is open. My dear sir, my dear lady, the door is now open for you. If you're willing to chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, you see. Then you can actually come to the point of realizing God, you see. You can see God face to face. That's the end of the pathway. You will meet Krishna directly. You will see God. You become his personal associate. Actually, we already are the personal associates of God. Simply we have forgotten. In that Prema Vivarta, there's that very nice mantra. Krishna Bhair Mukha. How the living entity, he turns his face away from Krishna, and then Maya slaps him and seizes him, you see. So, as confirmed by Prabhupada, and confirmed by this Prema Vivarta Shloka, we are originally with Krishna. That's why we say back to Godhead. But somehow, out of an envy or foolish misuse of our marginal nature, tathasta nature, we turned away. Why should I serve God? I think I'd like to be God. You see. So, Krishna facilitated. And now he's facilitating our return back to our original position. By giving us guru, by giving us scriptures, by himself coming, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, coming again and again to reclaim us. Just see how kind is Krishna. This is not like the Judeo-Christian conception of God. You accept Jesus now, are you in this lifetime, or are you burn in hell forever, you rascal? You see, Krishna is very kind. Even if you reject me for thousands and millions of lifetimes, I'll still give you another chance, another chance, another chance, another chance to come back to me. This is the beautiful Krishna. He's so charming. He's so sweet. He's so wonderful. Everything about Krishna is amazingly beautiful, amazingly sweet. The transcendental body of Krishna is very, very sweet. And his face is sweeter still. But that soft, smiling face, that sweet, soft smile, you see, honey-scented smile. Do you know Krishna's smile has the scent of honey? That's stated. Madhu Gandhi. That soft smile, that honey-scented smile, that is the ultimate sweetness thrill, you see. So this is the unique contribution of the Gaudiya, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, to understand how wonderful is that smile of God, you see. That honey-scented smile of God. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful it is. That one can actually have a wonderful, loving relationship with that Supreme Person in any one of five primary rasas. The secondary rasas are also there, but they are not permanent. They come and they go. They are like spices to enhance the five primary. Everybody's in one of the five primary rasas. But the secondary are there is to enhance the five primary rasas. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. We're not trying to force you to become a devotee. We don't have to because you're already a devotee. Do you know that? You're already a devotee. You just have to realize it. I'm a devotee. It's confirmed by Lord Chaitanya. Jivara Savrupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas Krishnera Tatasya Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. You see, that is the nature of the living entity. He's the eternal servant of Krishna. He's Krishna's tatastha shakti, marginal energy. And he is a manifestation which is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Lord. This is Lord Chaitanya has instructed. So, we are tatastha shakti, eternal servants of Krishna, simultaneously one and different from him, his eternal servants. That's who we actually are. Now we just have to get back to being who we are. That's all. Just get back to being who you are. We've been suffering from amnesia for millions and millions of lifetimes. We've been dreaming that we're this and that. Actually, we're eternally situated in our identity. Our swarup is that we're eternally situated in our swarup. But now we're dreaming that we're something else. I'm dreaming I'm some young man here in London, or I'm some young woman, or old woman, old man here in the UK. I'm simply a dream. It's simply a dream. Now wake up from the dream and realize, actually, I'm not this body. I'm not this temporary identity that I have in my passport. It's not me. I'm actually Krishna's eternal servant. I just forgot, that's all. Now, what do you do when somebody has amnesia? What's the treatment? Actually, there's an interesting story in this connection. One gentleman in Dallas, Texas, some, you know, nice upscale neighborhood, he, well-to-do gentleman, he went walking one afternoon around the neighborhood, an afternoon stroll, but some strange thing happened to his brain, some unusual combination of chemicals happened in his brain, and he went into a state of amnesia. And he forgot who he was, and he forgot where he lived, and he couldn't remember anything. So he lived on the streets of Dallas for quite some time, not knowing who he was. Until one day some friend spotted him and drove him home, and then they brought a psychologist in, and they, you know, did some training, identity training, to bring him back to who he was, you see. And it worked. He got some training, and he gradually remembered who he was. So this is, we're all suffering from amnesia in this world, and Shobhapad's our psychologist. This is, he's giving us identity therapy. You see, Prabhupada and those who are assisting Prabhupada, his representatives, they are administering identity therapy, you see. Help us remember who we actually are. Sarup Siddhi is the result. You finally realize what is your eternal nature on this path of bhakti. It takes time. It's a lifelong process, actually. But the it's ecstatic from day one. That's the beauty of it. Because you get immediate relief from all kinds of distress. As soon as you seriously take up Krishna consciousness, confirm in the nectar devotion, you get immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. As soon as you take it up seriously, then all these distresses, they're not significant anymore. They're not. No matter what it may be, light distress, medium distress, or heavy, heavy, heavy distress, it all just becomes insignificant when you seriously take up this pathway that I'm Krishna's eternal servant. That's who I am. I am the eternal servant of Krishna, you see. Now I must seek a bona fide spiritual master who can teach me how to become perfect in that service, you see. As soon as you make that determination, you're going to feel good. You're going to wake up every day with a big smile on your face. Wow! Another day to advance in Krishna consciousness. Doesn't matter if you're a monk living in the temple, whether you're a professional person, pursuing a career, a business owner, a housewife, it doesn't matter where you're positioned. The same thing. Because it's all Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy is everywhere. And if you're learning how, by the guidance of an expert spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, you're learning how to engage that energy in his service, you're becoming perfect no matter where you are. A monk, a student, a professional, a business owner, you're becoming perfect. So, we got about 10 minutes left. Maybe there's some questions. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you. How can we get free from offenses when chanting Hare Krishna?
How can we get free from offenses while chanting?
How to get free from offenses while chanting? This is a very important question. Because offensive chanting holds us back. They are stumbling blocks, our roadblocks on the pathway back to Godhead. So to get free from them is very important. And I found an amazing instruction from Prabhupada recently. I'm always looking through the Veda base. You know, it's called nectar mining in the Veda base. And all Prabhupada's instructions on the in the computer, you know. And I found the most amazing piece of nectar in the Veda base a couple of months ago about chanting japa. Prabhupada told one of his disciples, one of his lady disciples, Vallabhi Devi Dasi, he said, when you chant japa, feel the presence of Krishna. And if you can't do that, then fix your mind in the sound vibration. So we've always heard, yeah, fix your mind in the sound vibration. That's the common thing. In ISKCON, we always hear that. Fix your mind in the sound vibration, Prabhu. You see? But now this is something different. And I went, wow, this is a whole new dimension. Feel the presence of Krishna. Well, how can you do that? I mean, how do you do that? You know, I started wondering, well, how do you do that? Well, is Krishna present? Well, of course he is. He's the name. Krishna has come. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Krishna has come. He is present. If somebody comes to your house, you see, to visit you, and you just you give them the cold treatment, you ignore them, and what kind of host are you? You see, you're offensive. If someone comes to your house, you give them all facility. Oh, well, here's, would you like a place to sit? You want some water? But if you're hungry, I can cook you a lunch. You see? If somebody is present, you can give them the cold shoulder or you can open your heart to them. So are we giving Krishna the cold shoulder when we chant our japa, or are we opening our heart to him? You see? If you give him the cold shoulder, then you're guilty to offense. So many offenses are automatically there. 1, 2, 3, 10 kinds of offenses, and the 11th, inattentiveness. All, if you give Krishna the cold shoulder, all 11 things are there. You see. But you realize, God has come. He has personally come to bless me with his association. Let me open my heart to him. You see. Then all your offenses will go away. You see. So try them. I guarantee you, because that instruction came from Prabhupada, I guarantee you that will levitate, send your japa into the stratosphere. Beyond the stratosphere. Literally. Beyond the stratosphere. You see, the transcendental plane. Okay.
Why is Narasingadev called Narahari?
Why is...
Narasingadev is called Narahari.
Narahari means half lion, half man.
Hari is not, Nara is man.
Do we have any Sanskrit experts? That's why I said, I've always understood that. Nara Hari. Nara is man and Hari is, means lion also.
Lord.
Huh?
Hari. Hari is Lord
Krishna. Yeah, I had to check with one of my Sanskrit gurus on that one. I'll give you my card and you can send me, I'll be happy to answer you by email on that one.
No, you answered the
answer. Are you on my e-course? Do you have my address?
No, I have. You already answered other questions. My name is Amar.
His name is Amar. He has asked you many questions.
Okay, well, you can ask me that one in email. I can check, but, you know, like, as I remember, Hari also means lion, but I'm not to check them. I'm not sure off the cuff, but I can double check for you. So just shoot me that email, the question in the email, and I'll answer it for sure. Any other questions? Yes.
She's saying she's new to reading the Bhagavad Gita and she started, and Krishna is absolute. So why he differentiates between inferior and superior?
Why Krishna differentiates between the spiritual and material energy?
It's contradictory.
Not the energy.
Energies.
Srila Prabhupada then talks about inferior energy and superior energy. But if God is absolute, how can I find it contradictory?
So Prabhupada is explaining as inferior and superior energies. So
superior and inferior energies? How God can differentiate? Why is there a difference if God is absolute? Okay. Because God is absolute, the energies are also absolute. They're the same. They share the absolute nature as well. Actually, for those who are on the absolute platform, the inferior energy does not exist.
Because we're stuck in duality.
Because everything is God's energy. Therefore, everything has the same absolute nature as God. But when one is covered by illusion, you see, Prabhupada says, actually, everything is spiritual energy. these Prabhupada stated, actually everything is spiritual energy, but when we don't use it in the service of the Absolute, then it becomes relative or inferior. Everything is God's energy. See, the Mayavadi conception is you have to negate. I want nothing to do with this material energy. But the Vaishnava, it's inferior. But the Vaishnava conception is nothing is inferior. If you engage it in the service of Krishna, everything is superior. So actually, for a Vaishnava, there's no distinction. Everything is absolute. He can use everything for Krishna because he sees the absolute nature of everything. But if you become forgetful of Krishna, then that differentiation comes. But for a pure devotee, the Yomang Bhagavad Gita, Yomang Pashati Sarvacha Sarvanchamayi Pashati, the Shahangna Pranashani Sachamena Pranashati, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 30. For one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So that answers your question. Actually, Krishna is in everything, and everything is in Krishna. But for one who forgets Krishna, then that distinction comes. Does that help you? All right. So now there's a kirtan for the aarti. If anybody has any questions, I'm going to be out in the hall. I thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.